This is the third attempt for this intro. I don't even know what was wrong with the second attempt, I just didn't like it. I said quite a lot of important things in it and now haven't re-recorded them. This is the second of the podcasts I recorded in Inverness, 2 of 2. And I've been really looking forward to putting this one out. It's with Ross Houston, who, if you don't know, is a pro MMA fighter who fights currently on the Cage Warriors promotion. If you don't know anything about Cage Warriors, it is where a lot of the big stars that you'll know in the UFC now, from Britain and Europe particularly, made their name, including the biggest, one of the biggest sports people in the world, Conor McGregor. He started out in Cage Warriors. It's a massive promotion, and it's amazing to have an undefeated fighter like Ross come on and speak to me when he's going to be fighting at such a high level on the 21st of July in London, the Cage Warriors there. So it was ace to speak to Ross sort of at the start of his camp as he was getting ready to, you know, make all those preparations to go out there and get another win. Other than that, Ross was a really, really nice guy. We did had a bit of a workout before we recorded the podcast. He was a great coach, gave me some great insights. And yeah, I just really enjoyed the podcast. I really enjoyed spending that time with Ross, getting a really good chat. I try to talk about jiu-jitsu in this podcast. I don't know fuck all about jiu-jitsu. I try to talk about it intelligently. I probably fail miserably. I've not even listened to that to the podcast yet. I just know that from memory that I tried to talk about jiu-jitsu and didn't really say very much. And Ross had to bail me out. So thanks for that, Ross. I hope you enjoy the episode. And of course, best of luck to Ross with his fight on the 21st of July. And of course, good luck to... He'll be fighting alongside Aberdeen's own Paul McBain, who fights out of Aberdeen Combat Centre, which, if you know me at all, that's the gym I train at. Right, I think I've said enough about me and about my day in Inverness. I really hope you enjoy this episode. Cheers. Assistant, how are we?
All good, brother.
Put me through my paces there.
That's it. We had a good pad session.
Yeah.
The boy's got a mean right hand, man. So I think the future opponents have got to watch out for that. The right hand, the left body shot, and the low kick.
People think I'm paying you to say that, just so you know.
No, I don't mean it.
So how did you get started in MMA and combat sports in general?
You know, I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago now. As you probably can tell from the accent, I'm originally from down south. I lived in the West Midlands, trained up in a place called Cannock, which is just only about 15 minutes away from Birmingham. Mm-hmm. I started off at a team called Team Supreme. My mate was going to this MMA gym, cage fighting gym, and he wanted me to come along, and I was like, all right, went along to it. I enjoyed it. We trained together for a few classes, then he lost interest and I carried on, really.
Okay.
But there's like down there, if I think back to when I was training down there, there's some massive names. Team Supreme later split into UTC and Pure MMA. So between them two gyms, when it was at Team Supreme, there was Vaughn Lee was there, who was like ex-UFC. Mm-hmm. You had Paul Taylor, ex-UFC Calbon. Yeah, Leon Edwards, is now UTC. Eugene Fadior, who's beat some top names, and a load of other guys, man. So some real, thinking back to, you know, I didn't really appreciate it, but now I'm up in Inverness, in the back arse of nowhere, you know. I love it here, but I used to train with some good guys, man. So that was it. I kind of like trained there for a few years. I had a lot of amateur fights down there, and just that's how it started, really.
Yeah.
And then I got the bug, as they say, and then here I am, 8 years later, still getting punched in the head, but for a few buttons now.
How was it having your pal drop out after a few weeks? Because I know from, like, having trained combat sports,
I think I've probably got about 10, 15 names I could give you of friends who have like come for like 2 or 3 weeks and then they've backed off. Yeah. Like, fuck, I have to find someone else to, to drag along with this.
It was tough, especially I remember when I first started, I didn't actually drive. So it was a bit of a drive to the gym, so it was quite handy having mates who could drive and take me down. But yeah, like you say, people like the idea of training in combat sports. Yeah. Not saying that you have to, like, you come to do combat sports and you know it has to all be 100% hard sparring and all that all the time. But a lot of people like the idea of training in combat sports, but like when it comes to maybe when you things that have to be pressure tested and like wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, boxing, all that, you know, maybe they lose interest when they realise it's actually pretty hard work, to be honest. But yeah, it is annoying, I guess, but like you say, how long have you been training?
Coming on 2.5 years now.
2.5 years. Like you said, you've had 15 people drop out, so I've lost count, you know, it happens all the time.
I think it's the burpees that put people off, to be honest.
Yeah, burpees as well. Yeah. The worst is if you're out on a Saturday night, and well, around here it's a city, but it's a small city, and there isn't that many. This is the only MMA gym, and there's not that many MMA competitors, you know, so the amount of people. I could have like £1 for every time someone said, oh, I'm going to come start training, you know, on Monday when I'm out in the town on Saturday night, you know, I'd be a millionaire. But it just comes with the territory, I guess, doesn't it?
So you're well known around in Burness? It's like
it's not really, no, I'm not saying that like in a big anyway, it's just it's a small town mentality, you know. And like I said, it's the only MMA club in the Highlands, so if something's going on, word travels pretty quick.
Yeah. So was this an SPG gym when you started training here, or did you bring that in?
I started up this gym, to be honest. Originally, when I first moved up to Scotland about 6 years ago, it was I think it was Fusion MMA, which did actually have quite a lot of fighters there, to be honest. But it was a guy called Jimmy Grigger who taught there, and he actually stopped teaching MMA a couple of years. After I moved up, and whilst I was moving offshore, when I was working offshore, I didn't have, I was sitting there working offshore, and I was like, you know what, this ain't really what I want to do, you know, 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week, you know, 84-hour weeks, and I was like, I just saw a hole in the market, especially in the Highlands, you know, so yeah. I thought, fuck it, and spoke to Gav, the landlord of the Forge, you know, rented out this place, and then, yeah, what was it? That's the original question. Yeah, it was when we first opened it. We had the Jiu Jitsu Misfits through in Elgin, so we were the Jiu Jitsu Misfits in Inverness, and then we both got SVG affiliations.
Mm-hmm.
So we were granted by Carl Tanswell, who's passed away now, that he allowed us to call ourselves SVG. So we were pretty buzzing about it, to be honest. So yeah, Jiu-Jitsu Misfits, it was the Fusion MMA originally, Jiu-Jitsu Misfits, and then now it's SPG Inverness. It's moved pretty fast, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's moved pretty fast.
How's it been part of the SPG sort of gym network? Because they're obviously such a big name in MMA.
It is pretty cool, to be honest. It was, you know, it was exciting. I remember when I first started, you know, I went for my first training trip, it was down at SPG Manchester, and like I said, Carl Tanswell was the head coach there. And I would turn up, they've got like protein morning sessions.
Okay.
And you notice that when you go to a new gym, it's kind of like, so up in Inverness, you know, maybe like, you know, there's not a lot of experienced fighters. So I went down there and, you know, I was a real little fish in a massive pond down there. And I remember just waiting in the changing rooms, and then in pops like Sol Rogers, who like a couple of months earlier, I'd watched him like kick some ass on the Ultimate Fighter. You got like the Stapes and all that, Alex Enland was training, and Matt Inman as well. You know, I'd been watching these guys for years, to be honest, you know, because I had been training for a while, but I'd always like remember watching them. I was like, these dudes are badasses. And then the next thing I know, I was sparring with them and training. So it's been cool, man, being part of SPG, because it's brought us into a real solid network, really, for sparring, for training, and like for Brazilian jiu-jitsu and stuff. A good community. It's been good, like.
So do you run the jiu-jitsu side of stuff through here, or is it still the Misfits, or is it all one, so one and the same now?
I run the BJJ side of things through here, but because jiu-jitsu is still quite new up in Inverness, and I didn't really put a gi on for the most of my career. So it was only like the past two and a half years I put a gi on. So I'm a purple belt now. So we still regularly get black belts coming up doing seminars, and they do the gradings and stuff, because you need to be like a brown belt to promote someone from white belt to blue belt, you know. So it's pretty awesome. We get a guy, Casey Jones, who's from SBG. He comes out and grades our guys. But we still all train with each other and all that, but your day-to-day BJJ classes, I'll take them. Mm-hmm. Teach to the best of my abilities, I guess. Work from there.
BJJ is a weird one, I think, because it's so much its own thing, but then it's such a fundamental part of MMA.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I went to a couple of BJJ classes because I was interested in MMA, and then I was like shocked at how much a departure it is, like traditional gi BJJ. Mm-hmm. It's like quite a departure from MMA in a way.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you can, it does translate straight over.
It does, you know, and that's why I think when I first started training myself, it was all no gi. More because, I don't know, like they were maybe a bit behind the times. It was a lot of MMA fighters there. So I remember the classes were actually called Submission Wrestling.
Okay.
Which I think it sounds more badass than BJJ, to be honest. And I always, when people heard about people training the gi, I was one of these like old school mentality guys. I was like, oh, nah, you don't really need to train the gi, you know. But I'm glad I put it on, to be honest, because it might not look like it relates to MMA grappling, like grappling's going on in MMA, but it definitely does tighten up your game, you know, it slows things down, because a lot of, I find like a lot in no-gi grappling, or no-gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a lot of people can get away with things just through athleticism, you know, it's quite fast, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of sweat, and it's just, it sounds a bit wrong, doesn't it, it's all fast, and you know, you can scramble and stuff like that, so you don't get a lot of time to think, and it's sometimes that like athleticism can play a bigger part, but in gi jiu-jitsu, you know, it slows things down, so then you have to actually think about the techniques you're doing and that. So yeah, it definitely does relate.
Talk about the sweating thing. When I did the BJJ for that brief period, I joked that my nickname would be the slime if I ever competed in BJJ. I was like, all I could do was a sweating bucket, so I just used to try and fucking slip my way out of people's holes.
Yeah.
That'll work, man.
That's a good attribute. Definitely, man. It's tough rolling no-gi. You do when it gets into a sweaty match. You know, that's why you hear about like Joe Rogan and all that in UFC, when they go on about in the second, the third, or the fourth and the fifth round in championship fights, it's been hard to pull off the submissions
because everyone's
sweating, man. You get your legs around someone's head for a triangle, they just pop out of there, man. It's fucking annoying, man. But it can be handy, I guess, if you're about to get choked out.
That's the only weapon I had.
That's a good weapon for it. What did you just say, the slimer or the slider?
The slime.
The
slider, that would have been a good one.
Slider would have been better. Slimer's pretty brutal, isn't it? The slimer. I like it, it's cool, man.
Well,
you just got slimed or something. Fucking right.
I could have came up with a whole host of things.
Yeah. I like it.
So you got a fight coming up, is it July 21st?
Yeah, July 21st. On Cage Warriors again.
Yeah. So how is this your third or fourth fight on Cage Warriors? Or is it more than?
It'll be my fifth fight on Cage Warriors. I've been smashing these boys, man. I need that belt, you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, to be honest, I fought Aaron Khalid in my last fight, and that was a
rematch.
I fought twice in a row, but I dominated him in the first match, and then I was meant to fight Lewis Long, who was meant to be in terms of the rankings, and everything really too much. Outside UFC, he was the UK's number one welterweight.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's smashing real top guys. So me and him were scheduled to fight. He was Aaron Khalid's coach, but he broke his hand, and they were trying to find me. I accepted absolutely everyone. They were trying to find me matches. I remember they were giving me like Chechen guys, Russian guys. I was like, yeah. French, everywhere. I was talking about six or seven opponents. I was just saying,
yeah.
Some of them were like 35 bouters and stuff like that. But I just wanted to fight because I was ready to fight Lu Long. You know, he wasn't going to get much tougher than that. But I couldn't get anyone. And then Aaron Khalid's opponent, he was meant to be fighting a guy from Liverpool. His opponent pulled out like kind of week's notice, so the chances of him getting a matchup were 0 to none.
Yeah.
And obviously, I was a week out, so they offered it, and I was like, for fuck's sake. You know, because it's kind of like, it wasn't a lot in it for me, and I'd already dominated him, but I was ready, I was prepped, had a lot of people coming down to watch, and I've paid a lot of money to Safe MMA to get all your like brain scans these days. It costs quite a bit of money, so all that was, I'd paid for all that, and I was like, get some cage time in. So then I fought him again, dominated him again, even more than the first time. I just couldn't put him away. was just tough as fucking nails, man. That boy, I broke my hand in the process hitting his head.
I watched an interview with you yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
After that fight, that you had said, you're like, oh, Lewis Long, he broke his hand, and you said, now my hand's fucked. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But this back to this next fight is a guy called Nathan Jones. He's an experienced guy, like a 20-plus bouter. He's fought for the Bama World title before.
Yeah, I was watching some of his fights yesterday.
He lost. He's not on the best streak just now.
No.
But, you know, I'm not going to look into it too much. I'm always confident going into every fight. But, you know, he's a lot more experienced than anyone I've ever fought. And he's fought a lot more. He's like fought like higher and more experienced opposition than I have. And he's only been beat by good people, you know. So I can't really... I'm still smashing. I don't really give a fuck, you know. But he's standing in the way, man. So I'm gonna, you know, fight him July 21st, and you know, pretty much unconditionally. Well, like he'd been told that get the title shot.
Yeah.
Because I wanted Craig White, and he was meant to be fighting for the title, but then he got signed to UFC, didn't he? Then
he
fought Neil Magny. Yeah. So Nathan Jones is the next target, July 21st in London at the O2 Indigo. And me McBain, I'm a loner on it, so three Scottish guys, the three guys out of Scotland who are all side to cage warriors are actually fighting on it, man, so it's going to be a good outing.
It's going to be cool. Do you think the cage warriors did that on purpose as like a little marketing?
Maybe they did, you know, to be honest.
I think they might have.
And then see how much like support we get.
Yeah.
And then maybe gauge on certain coming back to Glasgow, you know, because I think I'm going to take out Nathan Jones and then... get the title shot, you know.
I guess that would be absolutely ideal for you if you would fight for the title in Glasgow.
In Glasgow, yeah. I mean, and you know, the thing is, people be like, ah, oh, Ross Houston, he's from Scotland, Glasgow, it's in his backyard, but they don't realise it's about 4 hours away. It's still
quite further for you to travel.
It is. I'd rather get on a plane to, well, it's easier to get on a plane to London than me to drive to Glasgow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be awesome, to be honest. And yeah, I've trained with McBain and Malone, and they're both geese as well, so I'm confident we're going to get 3 wins. July 21st, it'd be a good night, a good sense.
I mean, I could see Cage Warriors coming to Glasgow because like Paul's in pretty much a similar position to yourself. He's had, you know, a few big wins in Cage Warriors, and he's looking at the title now. So if timing's worked out, it could work out better for them to have it in Glasgow and have, you know.
Could, and I don't know, who's the champion at 66? Can't even think. Is it Paddy Pimlet that's gone down 66, hasn't he?
That'd
be a good fight, you know. I reckon McBain would smash Pimlet. I remember saying it. I said it after, because me and McBain fought together in Liverpool, and I said it after I beat the guy in Liverpool, and I said, because I remember me and McBain were weighing in, and Pimlet was like, fucking Scotland, they're going 0-2 tomorrow, and all that. And me and McBain were like, fuck off. You know, her and it was Paddy Pimlet and Molly McCammer mouthing off, you know, because we were fighting their local guys, and me and McBain both smashed their guys, you know, and so, you know, kind of like, him and McBain were going back and forth, but I think McBain would take him out, to be honest. I think he'd take him out.
I mean, I can't think of anything I'd like to see more, really.
A good scrap, you know, because Pimlet's don't get me wrong, he's obviously good, he's big for the weight. He's opportunistic, like you can't sleep on him, because he'll like, you know, he'll throw up shit from anywhere by the looks of it. But McBain's solid, you know, good scrambling, good takedown defence and heavy striking, you know, a big featherweight as well, so that'd be a good scrap. Me, McBain and Malone in Glasgow, you know, but 3 wins July 21st, and I reckon that'll happen. That's a good shot, actually. If one of us doesn't get signed to the UFC, that is, because that's what happened to Craig White, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he came in last minute because Gunnar Nelson,
yeah. Big, tough ass that, wasn't it? Jesus. Neil Magny, actually, I remember standing next to Craig White, he's a big lad, you know, he used to fight middleweight, and Neil Magny kind of like, you know, mate, dwarfed him a wee bit. Magny's massive, I think, he's like about 6'4 or something like that, but you know. I had nothing to lose, you know.
Yeah, you're going to take that shot, are you?
Exactly, man, exactly. Just throw some lever at his chin.
How would you feel about that? If that came at you, sort of like last minute call up on a card because of an opponent pull out to get your shot in the UFC?
I spoke to this with my old man and like my mates and that. I'd love that, you know. I would say I'd love that fight, but here's Neil Magny, but you would. I would love that opportunity, you know. What I've got to lose? Absolutely nothing. I think... you know, I think I'd be coming out and just throwing some heavy leather at his chin.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, you know, it's easier said than done, you know, like Craig White's tactics. He came out quite strong, pinned him up against the cage, but you know what? It's a dream, isn't it, man, to have that co-main event. You look at the people who are on that, because that was, I think that might have been the biggest British card ever, was it, on UFC, maybe?
It was pretty big, yeah.
I don't know if it's been, I'm trying to think if there's been a bigger headliner. I'm
trying to think whether when Bisping fought, there might have been some big cards there.
Yeah, but I could think of Bisping, he's like a beast, but he wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but Darren Till always seems to have that different level type of hype, almost like the McGregor hype, you know?
Yeah.
So, God knows. And like I said, when me and McBain fought in Liverpool, that Scouse crowd at the Echo Arena is nuts, man, so it would have been a good one. But yeah, I'd take any fight, you know. I know Craig White did the same, and I know anyone who's a true fighter at heart and has got ambition, if you got offered a UFC fight, you would say yeah within seconds, you know, regardless of the opponent. You can't miss them opportunities, I don't think, unless you're like a real, unless I know some people like, unless you're like a 19-year-old with lots of, you get, you know, you're smashing everyone, but you don't want to rush it type thing. But I'm at 27 now, you know, I'm not like, you're still in my prime, but I wouldn't pass up an opportunity and be like, oh, give me a couple more years and then come back to me, you know, because you just got to grasp that chance and take it by the horns, as they say.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's what the road, yeah.
I just like waiting to see where that went.
Yeah, I was kind of baffling a wee bit then. I can't remember the original question. Nah. I've done that a load of interviews in the past. I'm kind of the ask something, and then they'll go around everything except actually answering the question. Then I'm like, what were you saying? That spider problem is getting hit to the head.
Too much. What do you think it is about Darren Till that's got on this sort of success so quickly? Do you read into that, or do you think it's all media hype?
You know, you believe on it, sounds huge. Everyone goes on about like believing yourself and all that.
Yeah.
But he does, you know, and I'm a massive one for you know, like positive thinking and like visualization, positive talk, how he holds his posture. Like, I'm sitting with shit posture just now, but you know, how he holds himself, and you know, I think that all adds up, and you know, then you know. It's like they say, fake it till you make it. You know, a lot of people do it. You know, they say they're the man, and then they beat a few people. Then you start to believe it, and then you perform like you're the man. You know,
and then
before you know it, you'll be at the top. You know, that's what I think. Anyway, I think that's that positive thinking and mentality part of it's massive, absolutely massive. Because like I said to you earlier in the car, there's people who are good in the gym, you know, behind closed doors and all that. But it's a whole different kettle of fish when, you know, you got all your mates watching, you got the cameras there, the lights there and stuff. You know, that's when people can crumble, you know, and men can become mice, you know. And that's not like a, you know, because everyone's been there. I remember with like fucking shit myself, virtually amateur fights. I still get nervous now, you know, and it can, everyone's different. Some people take to it naturally, some people take a few fights, but yeah, you need to be, the mental side of it is massive. Massive.
Do you do anything to make sure your mental game is strong, or do you just feel you've naturally got that mentality?
It's built up, you know. Like I remember losing a few amateur fights at the start of my career, and I was like, what's that about? You know, I should have, if that dude stepped in the gym, I'd smash him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't on my level, but my own mind had let me down. And you know, so I didn't feel I've always had that kind of confidence, but then thinking back to it, I reckon, because when I was younger when I first started competing, I think I was like put too much pressure on myself, and I cared too much about what other people thought when I was competing. Because I remember it was the first few fights down in Birmingham, and people you know, I was selling tickets and all that, and then people were like, oh, Ross is fighting, you know. And then I was like, fuck, I've got to win, you know, I've got my mates watching, all the girls coming and watching, stuff like that, you know. And you start to put pressure on yourself, and you know I didn't like handle that stuff, and I cared too much about what other people think. Whereas now I'm like, I can give a fuck, you know. No one's forcing me to do this. I've been doing this for 7 or 8 years. Like I said, you know, no one's forcing me to do it. You know, I'll get in there, have some fun, be confident, get confidence from training hard. You know, I train hard every day. That's what gives me confidence. And you know, just get in there and have some fun. But in terms of preparation, I think, I've got a few things, like I think runs always, there's always like a possibility of losing, you know. It's a fight at the end of the day, you know. I'll get tapped out in the gym, you know. It happens, you know, every top fighter will get tapped out in the gym at some point. So the chances, the possibility of losing is always there, just because of that many ways to win a fight, that many ways to lose a fight. But see, when I've got a fight coming up, and some people, they like it, but they don't really care. Like, if someone asks me about the fight, I won't verbally say like, yeah, I've got to watch out for this, because if he gets me this, then I'm screwed, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be like, nah, you know, I won't even accept that, because I think if I start saying, he's strong, man, I think I'm going to struggle if he gets on top, then that seed's planted. And then in the fight, if he does get on top, then it's going to be like, I was meant to struggle in this position, you know. Like I said to everyone, if he gets on top, he's going to feel strong. And whether he's strong or not, if I've planted that seed, I'm going to be like, dude, this guy's strong, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, nah, I'm gonna ragdoll him, I'm gonna physically dominate him, and he's not gonna have anything for me. And I'm like, I'm gonna win, you know. I'm gonna take this guy out. And you know, some people don't like it, you know, because it isn't arrogance, it's a technique. You know, that's worked for me. Do you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, I'm a humble guy in the gym. Like I said, I get tapped out all the time in the gym, smashed in spars all the time in the gym, you know. I get beaten up all the time, as every fighter does, but I don't like even planting that seed of a possible negative outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, I'll train hard because I'm like, you know, I know it's a possibility inside, but that's what makes me train harder.
Yeah.
But then it's weird, because it's not like I don't put any pressure on myself, but I just like to myself, you know. I'm getting in there, I'm fighting against another man, I'm going to give myself the best chances I can of winning, you know. And that's how I think about it, you know. So I think positive talk, planting these positive seeds in your body, it's like, baffling a wee bit, but even like if someone's like, this is a big one, I think, you like, even like just minutes before the fight in the changing rooms, if someone comes in, they're like, how are you feeling? It's all your generic like bullshit. Everyone says, you're feeling ready, you know, how you feeling? Everyone I've spoke to, you feel pretty shit, you know, because you're about to fight. You're shitting yourself a bit, you're nervous before you're going to go out there. You know, because you've trained for like the past 2-3 months for this moment. But if someone asks me how I'm feeling, I'm always like, I feel mint, you know, I feel amazing. Yeah. I feel, you know, I might be like stiff on the pads, getting tired after 10 seconds, like what's up with my body, but I'm like, nah, I feel amazing, I feel mint, you know, because I plant these positive things in my body, then I'm like, I talk, like I fake it till you make it, like I said, I fake it, that I'm feeling mint, and then, you know, I'll fight mint, you know, it's everything. What else is there? Another one's like posture. One of like my old coaches told me about this, and the thing about like you keeping like correct posture, there's a study and there's like a video I've shown, it talks about how people hold their posture and all that, and there's like they did like a test on 20, it was like 20 people who were put in a stressful situation, and like it was like before they were going to go into a job interview, and they gave these 20 people like they gave 20 people these cards. Like 10 blue cards, 10 red cards. All the blue cards had like positions that they had to wait in for 15 minutes before they went in this interview, and they were stuff like you know, like negative posture, like maybe they were like this, you know, making themselves small, you know, like grabbing their hair, you know, like stuff like nervous trait type things. And the other 10 cards were like big, like confident, powerful postures. You know, they were sitting well, keeping a good posture.
Yeah.
You know, like spreading yourself wide, you know, it made me look like a bit of an idiot before you about going to an interview, but not only did these guys with the positive postures, who were waiting in the positive postures, not only did they perform better in the interview, but there's two like chemical things that you want to happen, in main chemical things that you want to happen in your body before you go into a stressful situation. You want higher levels of testosterone, so you want increased levels of testosterone for like confidence. And you want decreased level of, I always get the word wrong, it's like the stress hormone, it's like I can't remember exactly, but it's a stress hormone in your body that you want lower levels of, and you want higher levels of testosterone. And they did like tests on these people before, and these people who are in positive postures have something like a 5% testosterone increase and a lower, a decreased level of stress hormone, and it was the reverse for these people who are weight negative. So I'm always like that. Like I said, I was sitting in a crappy posture then, but at the moment I get to like the weigh-in, so we fly in for a fight on like a Thursday, and I'm like, say we're getting the hotel, I'll fill up cracks and weight cutting, but you sometimes see your opponent at the hotel as well. So every time I'm walking around, I make sure I'm walking around, I keep a good posture. At the weigh-ins, I make sure I'm sitting in a good posture, you know, try to sit at the front, make myself look big and confident, because everyone's quite nervous. But you know, if your opponent like, sees you and they're like, fucking hell, he looks fucking confident, it puts him off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's making positive changes on your body, you know, actual chemical changes. So you always do that. And even things like the rules meeting before the fight, like you always get asked, the ref says everything, and then they're like, does anyone want any questions? Has anyone got any questions to ask? I always ask something. I make sure I speak loud and clearly when I ask it, because everyone's quiet, everyone's nervous, we're about to batter each other in a few hours, you know. But then everyone looks at the guy who's asking the question, and I always say it loud, concise and clear. And you know, my opponent will be in the room as well, and he's like, oh, he's confident to, you know, do that in front of, you know, where everyone's kind of nervous, you know. And these things, there are little tricks that I use, you know, so like posture, positive thinking, positive talk. And you know, just everything bang on. But the main thing is training hard, you know, and I do that every day anyway, you know. But to get that mental edge on someone, I think it's big.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else there is. The one big thing as well, I always, before I get in the cage, watch any of my fights, every time I've got a fight, I step into the cage and I'm about to fight, they call out my name and all that. I'm about to like the posture type thing. I always make sure I get to the centre of the cage. I'm like, oh, geez. And I get to the centre of the cage. I just make myself as big as possible, like a wingspan.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I look at my opponent in the chair, in the face, and I'm like, this is my time, bro. You're getting stopped. I look at him and he's like, they don't know, you know, because they're like, fuck, what's he on about? And I said, you're getting stopped. I'm stopping you, man. This is my time. You got no chance, you know. I said, look in their face and I say it. And you know, some people, you know, different reactions. Some people just look away. So I've had people being like, let's, you know, they nod, they're like, let's fucking go then, you know. So you get different reactions off people, but for me, it makes me feel good. And
yeah,
I think it'll put people off their game as well. If I'm like to someone, you'll get fucking stopped, you know, I'm looking at them, and you know, it sounds like a novish move, but I don't really care. If I'm about to fight someone, any edge I can get and anything I can do to make myself feel better, then I'll do it, you know, because I'm worried about scrap each other. And trust me, he's getting, yeah, it's kill or be killed, man. And I'm going to take that boy out every time, you know, every time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I've got a good routine. And like I said, it can be massive. It can make or break a fighter, to be honest.
Funny thing with these things as well is, like, people might, you might hear, someone might watch an interview with a fighter and they might say, I do this, and this, and someone might sit there and go, That's bullshit. They're just fucking making that up. But if it fucking works for you, then who's to say whether like
exactly
it's wrong or not? Like
I've had conversations with people before who've like maybe not liked the approach that I do.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me the slightest, you know. but I've said to them, like, well, we're talking about psychology, and you're talking about my brain. You know, if it works for someone's brain, like you said, then you know who says it's wrong or right. You know, everyone's got different approaches. Some people think you need to negative thinking, thinking about like the bad things could happen, because then it makes you work harder and be realistic about it. But like I said, inside my body, I'll know there's the risk factor, and that's the way I train hard. But I ain't ever gonna vocalize that, you know, because I don't plant the seeds. But like you said, it's you, isn't it, man? So if it works, it works for you. Definitely, man. I hit the nail on the head, look.
Do you visualize stuff? I've heard this more and more with hearing interviews with fighters, that they talk about, some will say they'll visualize, like try and visualize the whole fight, how it's going to go. And then some people say, oh, I don't visualize the fight, but I visualize myself celebrating at the end. Like, uh-huh. And I just, doesn't matter how I get there, I just know I need to get there.
Uh-huh.
Do you do any of that sort of stuff? Or?
I think I do a wee little bit, like I've got like a...
I mean, I do, I don't even fight really, but I still do, you know, like UFC champion, but I think it's classic daydreaming when I do.
Yeah, even like things like an interview and all that, it's good to, you know, you're interviewing Liam Harrison, it's a big name, you know.
Yeah.
It's good just to visualise yourself being confident, you know, and doing things well, because I think no matter what situation it is, you know, it helps. I know I got on a run near my house and all that, and there's a last hill at the end, and like I'm running and absolutely burst. I'll get to the top of the hill. It sounds a bit of a cheesy Rocky story, but you know, I make sure when I'm at the top, I'm running up, I keep my hands up, you know, because you want to naturally, when you burst, you want to be like, you fold over into a crappy posture, but you keep the hands up and all that. And I'll do it sometimes after I've done a hard pad session with my coach. I'm burst, I've been on the bag. I'll keep my hands up and all that. I won't do it on my sparring and my training partners. This is maybe a bit too much, yeah. But I think, you know, just getting used to the hands and the abs, it's positive, you know, getting used to, especially like when you've been working hard, your body's been pushed to the brink. And then you're like, that's how it's going to feel. And then you're like, back and right, man, I'm the man, you know, I've just done that. I think in visualizing all that, I've seen a guy, Alex Denlin, down Newcastle, do this. And he talks about, like, he has his fighters doing, like, a shadow routine close to their fight and visualizing all the things that could happen, you know. So you just, it's really, you're doing it, like, really loose. But you know, you put yourself in some position, so maybe like pretend I've been taken down, start scrambling back to the feet, put your back on the cage, you know, get used to where your hands and your elbows are getting that head position back. You know, so that's quite good. And like maybe like get used to, you get your shadowing, but you're getting used to like parrying or blocking certain shots that your partner might throw, or your future opponent might throw, or how you're going to react to that, you know what I mean? So I think that type of visualization is good, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
It is good. And I think every fighter, you know, you want to admit it, but every fighter's done the old in the mirror practicing how they're going to do the face off picture type thing, you know, in a mirror, like practicing what looks good, and you're like, does that look good? You know, maybe I should do this. You know, the Nick Diaz style thing. But yeah, it's different for everyone. I always make sure in the weigh-ins and all that, I get back to like big posture and all that, I always have to make sure, I'm usually taller than everyone anyway at my weight, but I have to make sure my hands are above theirs, you know, just so I'm almost like, you make it dwarf, and then you know, little things in the head, because then they see the picture later on when it gets uploaded, and they're like, fucking hell, you know, they look tiny underneath you, and then you're like, yeah, that dude's massive, you know, there are little tricks and all that. To be honest, if it didn't work, it didn't really matter, because, you know, like I said, the way I look at it, that is kill or be killed, dog eat dog when you're in there, and you're going to come up against someone who's just as mentally strong at some point, or mentally stronger, you know, so you've just got to scrap at the end of the day, you know. But yeah, man, I think there's a lot of tricks and all that, everyone's different, like you say,
mm-hmm.
There's no right or wrong. Some people are quiet, look at GSP and that, you know, he's as mm-hmm. be humble as anything, but inside he'll be confident, you know. Sure.
Did you hear him on Joe Rogan? I think it was just last week he did a Joe Rogan.
I heard about it. I didn't actually watch it though.
If you get a chance, GSP's a funny dude. Like,
I heard about the aliens, original aliens podcast, when he talked about aliens and all that.
Yeah,
that
he talks a bit about aliens on. I think he talked about that on the first one he did with Joe Rogan. They go back into it on this one, but just even the stuff of fighting, like he was talking about how in his life he like wants to be like a good guy and stuff, and wants to be. He feels like his personality is like a nice personality. People call him good guys. Like, I'm just George. Like,
but he says,
then he goes on about how he's like, oh, good guys are boring. He's like, I fucking hate watching all the guys here, good guys, fight.
Well,
like,
George says that.
Yeah, he's like, I like Conor, I like Nick Diaz, I like all those boys.
Yeah.
It's like, the guys like me are boring. I just, like, he's just so funny. And just the whole way throughout, he's just obviously quite a deep dude and quite a big thinker.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I would recommend that podcast to anyone. He's just a funny guy. And then, of course, Joe Rogan's the same, you know what I mean?
He can rattle on, can't he? I think GSP, man, it's true though, isn't it? But I don't think you can fake it, you know. It kind of looks like you get caught out if you try to fake your personality too much. Eventually down the line you'll get caught out, you know.
Yeah.
I think like your Nick Diaz's and all that, and your McGregor's, that's just who they are, I guess, isn't it, by the looks of it. I think, God knows, you never know what someone's like behind closed doors, do you? But definitely are a bit more exciting to watch, aren't you? Yes. Everyone loves a bit of animosity between two guys, don't they?
Yeah, I just found that, like, George St. Pierre, I just found it hilarious. And then, he only got into martial arts and stuff because he got bullied as a kid. And he kind of talked more about that and stuff on the podcast, about, like, he talked about specific times he was getting bullied and stuff. And he's just so at peace with it now. And
yeah,
it just seems like quite an interesting.
Imagine bullying GSP.
Well, I don't think you can now. But
Jesus Christ, that's savage. Is he fighting again soon? He was talking against Diaz, wasn't he?
Well, he went. Yeah, he apparently I think he got offered Nate Diaz, but I don't think he's taken it, or he's not decided or whatever.
Was it going to be a lightweight as well, someone said?
Yeah, well, he wants to fight at 155 because he wants to be the first. I think he wants to go out, before he retires, he wants to do something no one else has done before.
Be the three-time world champion.
So he's saying I think he's pretty much saying he will fight anyone at 155, and there's so many guys he could fight.
He probably, he's got really muscle bound, doesn't he? He's got a lot of aesthetic muscle, and he's quite short, I think, isn't he?
Yeah.
He'd still be a hell of a weight cut, that, wouldn't it?
But I think he said he's never cut weight for 170.
Really?
Maybe a little bit, but he's naturally 170.
He looked a bit ridiculous at 185, didn't he?
Yeah.
Too much muscle.
Well, that's why he's out now, as he says he was overeating and it's caused him, stomach issues.
Really?
And it's caused him, I think it's colitis, he says. And he's recovering from colitis. So that's why he's not taking a flight just now, is because before he takes a flight and goes into the camp, he says he wants to be fully recovered. He's not quite
there. Yeah, you don't want to get into, because the stresses of a fight camp on your body and your mind and all that, you want to be feeling good before you go into it, motivated as well, and that fucking fighting off colitis. Jesus.
So I think he wants, by the sounds of it, he wants anyone at 155.
Who's the man at 155?
McGregor, Khabib, but then everyone thinks they're gonna fight, and then
imagine GSP against Khabib, that'd be a good scrap.
Yeah, I think
Khabib would use a better wrestler. Jesus, is a tough one, isn't it?
I don't know.
A lot of it depends on how GSP's body would react to that cut. Obviously saying it's not a big cut, but it's always touch and go the first time someone performs at a weight.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're crap. Khabib's big for the weight, isn't he?
Yeah, but he'll be able to go a big cut as well.
Yeah, I felt in it. Khabib's looking beat. I think Khabib looks a beast, but he looks beatable. He gets hit a lot, doesn't he? I don't think you can afford to get hit that much against McGregor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, God knows. It's tough, isn't it? Because then again, you could quite easily picture McGregor just being on his back for 5 rounds getting beat up.
Yeah.
But then I could have picked, if anyone can land that punch,
it's McGregor. Change the angles.
Yeah,
and
McGregor can do it, can't he? A good scrap for that.
I think it would be easier to predict if we'd seen Tony Ferguson, Khabib, then it would be easier to say Conor could beat him. Even if Khabib had won, we'd seen if Tony had given him any problem.
Because if Khabib could hold Tony Ferguson down,
that'd
be something, wouldn't it? Tony Ferguson might be fucking injured all the time, isn't he? But then Khabib was getting injured all the time for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's why the two of them could never fight each other, it seems, because one of them.
It's a weird one.
What do you do for a camp? How long a camp do you take before fights? Do you pretty set down now, or do you change for each fight?
I train all the time. Everyone just says the same thing about interviews in the past, but I train all the time, improving things, but I've probably, it's hard, because it's kind of like, when it depends when you get matched up.
Okay.
I'm training all the time, but like I got matched up Nathan James, probably about a week or two ago now, so that was 10 weeks out, so I was like, people were like, oh, what, have you watched your stuff? And I was like, nah, I ain't looking at his stuff 10 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time to be like, right, have your mind focused on that.
Yeah.
So I was like, out last weekend drinking, and I was like, wrong, I still got to live my life and all that. I give it about, depending how I'm feeling, probably about 6 to 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Like 12-week camps, I'll train for 12 weeks up to, but I'll be training all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't like the sound of a 12-week camp. I remember Bisping says, I agree, he said the worst thing he's ever done is overtrain. When he beat Rockhold, he took on 2 weeks notice, and he felt the best he's ever felt. I don't think you need to. People who are training like professionals, all the time, I don't think you need that long to take the fight. I could fight a lot more often than I do. The only reason I don't, obviously cage warriors, I make the call really, but the only reason I don't is because, 6-0 just now, I'm at a good stage, there's no point in me rushing a fight quickly for the sake of a fight. I wouldn't do it on a domestic scene.
Yeah.
The only way I'd take a last minute fight if it was with the UFC,
mm-hmm.
or a title shot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only two reasons I'd take a quick fight. Other than that, I do like to leave myself about 6 to 8 weeks, to be honest, just to tune in. Just get things going. I always like to go away to a camp and train away somewhere, just to get some high level, mix up the spar partners and all that. Like usually I go SPG Manchester, I've been SPG South Shields, trained with like Enlen's the coach there, there's a guy Adam Proctor there, he's an absolute beast, 9-1 or something, so trained with them. I'm going to, like I said, I'm from Birmingham, so originally from near Birmingham, so I'm going down to see some mates next week who I haven't seen for years. And whilst I'm down there, I used to do a bit of training with Tom Breeze, you know, only a couple of times. Yeah, you know, yeah. He was at a team called Elements MMA, so we used to travel through there sometimes. I remember training with him, so I messaged him and said, whilst I'm down, I'll get some training in, you know, so I'll get some training with him. I'm sure that'll be fun, man, because that boy's a beast. And I think, like, they got, like, the, like I said to you, Leon Edwards, yeah. Fabian Edwards are down there as well, like Aiden Lee, who's a beast. So that'll be some good rounds, to be honest, good mix it up. And then train on the way back up, get through for sparring at SPG Manchester. But yeah, I always like to, you know, that camp, I think that makes me feel good. I have to, I've done it through my whole pro career now.
Yeah.
Been gone away somewhere. So I kind of have to do that to make myself feel physically prepared and mentally prepared, yeah. To be honest. Yeah, but that should be good fun, to be honest. Looking forward to that.
How much of a cut do you go through for fighting? What do you walk around at?
To be honest, I walk around about 90, 90, 91 kilos, anywhere between like 88 and 92 before I start. You know, before I start, when I'm just kind of like, see, after a fight, I'll maybe be back in the gym, you know, a week later. I'm just kind of like, just going through the paces, just working a bit of technique. I'll be up to like, yeah, anywhere between 88 and 92. So I think with this one, I'm about 91. Then I start up in the training again. And I'll usually, once I start training hard and living clean, most of it's cutting the crap out, you know.
Yeah.
I'll get down to probably about 87, 88 just now. And then I'll do my water loading. I'll diet a wee bit. I've made a mistake in the past of dieting too much, you know. Now I realise you can't do that. You know, if you haven't got the food in your body, you can't train hard.
Yeah.
So my water cut's got a bit more each time, but I'm doing it with ease. Like, and in my last fight, I water cut from, it was an 80 kilo catch weight, but I cut about 4.5-5 kilos water. You know, so I'm from 85 to 80. This time I'm probably gonna start the water cut at about 83 or 84. Mm-hmm. So I'll do about six liters water, I think. But a lot of it, you know, it's taking a lot of time, trial and error, to be honest. So I usually start off 90-91 kilo, then a diet, then a water cut. A lot of the hot salt baths and all that I do. Some people do the sauna, some people do hot baths. Everyone's different, to be honest, you know. But I found the most effective for me is I get in a hot bath for like 20-25 minutes, maybe 30, you can do it, but it's fucking hell. And then straight away, get wrapped up in the towel, keep, you know, the towels over the head, keep the sweat going.
Yeah.
And then just try and zone out for the next 30 minutes. And sometimes just in that one bathroom wrap, it takes about an hour, I can lose about 2.5-3 kilo. It's good, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'll do a bit more this time, but not too much. I don't want to push it too much because I'm feeling good and performing well in the fights just now, you know. So there's no point taking that much of a risk. And it's not like I've been small for the with the weight clash, you know. I think I've been bigger than everyone I've fought so far. So yeah, the fun parts of fighting and competing, weight cutting, I guess.
do you find it like really hellish, or are you all right with it? You just, it is what it is.
I used to find it harder because even though I'm getting heavier naturally as I get older, I used to find it harder because I dieted too much, you know, and I cut my carbs too much, and I was like, fuck, I'm fucking, you know, I'm feeling like crap, got no energy. But like a few of my coaches, Marcel, one of my striking coach, he's got a lot of like high level MMA and boxing guys and mates through in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's told me like a lot of little tips and all that, you know, just keeping the fats high on that last week especially, you know, just getting your nuts in and all that, 'cause that's real slow burning energy. Like sometimes I have like, that coconut oil you can get to cook with.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have like a tablespoon of that. Yeah, it doesn't sound good, but that keeps the fats going, and then your body will burn on that rather than burning your muscles, you know.
Yeah.
And it keeps your energy going, you know. So I have a lot of little tricks over the years which have made it easier for me, and it's made me bigger for the weight, you know. Now I feel like that's why I feel good in dominating these physical exchanges. But yeah, I've seen some big welterweights out there as well, so there must be some funky ass cuts going on, like, Jesus. think the guys other guys in the, I remember there's a guy Soldik who knocked out Ludlam when I fought Khalid for the first time, and I remember speaking to him. He's from, he went on to be the KSW champion, you know, it's a high level promotion, at welterweight. And I remember looking at him and I was like, what the fuck, he's welterweight as well, look at his back. He was about 5'11", so he wasn't that short, I mean, but he wasn't that short, you know, he was, but his fucking, his back, I was like, Jesus Christ, I could hardly see past him, you know. And I asked him after, I was like, yes, bro, because we both got the win, I was like, yes, man, nice win. And I got a crack going, I was asking what he weighed, and he walked in there, he said about 91, 92 kilo. He weighed, obviously weighing in at 77 a day before, that's a big guy. I asked him to go out for a beer as well, man, but he was like, I don't think he was too keen, like, maybe more of a professional than me. Yeah, man, but weight cutting, yeah, good fun.
There's one more thing I wanted to make sure we definitely get in, it was just kind of sort of going back to the start of when you started training MMA, is that, do you feel you've changed as a person, like, personality-wise, or, like, probably for the better, I would say, like, I find I've changed for the better since I started training combat sports. Do you feel you've changed in any ways, like, it's given you more discipline in your life?
It has, you know. I think, God knows what I'd be doing if I was doing this. Not getting punched in the head, anyway. But, yeah, definitely, I just change it, you know, because you, it's tough, like, you know, I think, and like I said, I'm looking for sympathy, like, because you choose to do it yourself, you know, but it definitely gives you, it toughens you up, I think, you know, as a person, and when you, if you go through, like, tough times and all that, I think doing combat sports can help you, like, channel your energy and stuff like that, I guess, you know, training, you know, I'm on a crappy day, you know, and I don't train 10 times worse, you know, I have to be training, you know, so I think it's taught me that, you know, the importance that this kind of exercise and combat sports can have on the body, mentally and physically, you know. But it's definitely, like, changed things. Like, say, like, my friend groups, I still keep in touch with, like, my good mates from down south and that, but it's hard for people to understand. It's like, I'm never doing something to make up the numbers, you know. I don't want to be second best or anything, so I'm everything or nothing. So, you know, you maybe lose contact with some of your mates along the way. Just, you maybe have, like, you've got a lot of associates, like I said in here, we have a lot of people who like know me and know the name, like, saying in a bit, like, big way, but they'll know of me, but I'm not many of them are mates, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know me type thing, you know, because you have to miss out on all these social occasions, you know, and it's kind of like you have to be, it's quite a selfish sport, maybe, you know, you have to be to make it, you know, and everyone's got their own path in life and what they do, and you have to, I've chose to do this, and, you know, you have to be kind of, like, make selfish decisions, you know, which are going to be best for you. I ain't going to miss training to go away to, like, some kind of, you know, like, tea, cake and coffee or something, you know. I ain't missing training, you know, it is what it is, you know. And, you make a lot of good mates along the way, you know, because you've got like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of good mates, you know, lifelong mates. But then you lose a lot of people who you know, don't understand it. But, you know, all in all, it's changed me, and, you know, you kind of, like, it is what it is, I guess, isn't it? As Holloway would say, you know, kind of, everyone has their own, everyone's on their own path, you know, this is the path I'm on, and I'm happy, I've done it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, like, you know, it's tough on the body, on the head and the body and all that, but I'm kind of like, the way I think about it, I'm like, fuck it, like, I would rather, like I said to you earlier, I'd rather go out 10 years early and be like, well, at least if I gave it a crack
when
I was of that age, you know, and there's been some points in my career, I've been like, this is hard on my body, you know, like, body, head, everything and all that, and I'm like, a lot of hard sparring rounds, but now I've been like, I'm in far now, you know, I ain't coming this far not to get to the UFC and start smashing some people in the UFC, you know, so now I've said to myself, I'm like, this is it, man, you know, I'm invested so many years into this now, I'm making sure I get there, and I will get there into the UFC, you know, and beyond, you know, I'm not going to get, like I said, I'm not going to get to the UFC just to make up numbers, you know, and get in there and smash the people in the UFC, but, yeah, I'm babbling on again, yeah, but it's definitely made me a better person.
Do you feel like that gives you more and more drive the further you get into sport? It's like, because I think that's like a good mentality to have. I think it's almost a common one. I feel like that mentality of, well, I've got this far, let's just keep going. But I don't think you hear that too often. And people are always, oh, it's always been my dream to get here, here, wherever. I've been pushing for the whole start. But your approach is just like, well, I've got this fucking far, let's just keep going.
Because I never I never thought, thinking back to when I started, this is, I never been like, I'm going to be doing this the next 8 years. I didn't think it was going to be my job running an MMA gym, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Fell on my feet, moving back up to Inverness, you know, and there was an opportunity to do it. I guess it has been different, because when I stopped working offshore, I was like, I'm going to give this a crack, you know, I want to do this, I'm going to give it a crack for 2 years. Yeah. If it works out, it works out. If I went pro and I went like 0-5, I wouldn't be sitting here with you today, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing this, you know, because I'm not there to make it the numbers. So, you know, I ain't going to be, you know, fucking bum journeyman fighting and putting my body through that stress when, you know, just to get a payday from someone. I ain't doing that, you know. So I definitely think it's driving me, you know, the success I'm having.
Yeah.
Now it's actually become realistic, because before people were like, oh, I'm going to get to UFC and all that. But I was kind of thinking, well, you're not training hard enough, you know. You're getting beaten a lot of your fights against people you should get beaten. You should be beaten, you know. It's kind of like, you know, you need to make some changes. But now I'm thinking, I used to think, oh, I'd be classed in UFC, you know, but now it's like, it's getting more and more realistic and every win. And now I'm like, dude, I'm like, you know, I remember with Lou Longa, I accepted to fight Lou Longa in a heartbeat, you know, he was meant to be the UK number one guy. And I remember watching him, like 4 or 5 years ago on Cage, where he's one of the original ones, and I was like, that dude's an absolute beast, man, you know, he's called us back. You know, and I was dropping in and out of MMA at the time, doing it a bit of part-time, but now I'm like, you know, I'd love to fight that guy. I like Lou Longa, respect him, you know, he's a cool dude, I've been out drinking him a few times, but, you know, just, it's becoming more of a reality.
Yeah,
and now totally. I'm like, hold on a minute, you know, I feel, I've had 6 fights now, I don't feel like I've been pushed out of my comfort zone, you know, I feel like I'm in second gear still, and that's the God's honest truth. So, you know, it's becoming more realistic and more achievable, man, and like, you know, I ain't stopping for no one, you know, so I'm gonna get there 100%, man, trust me. And, you know, real soon I can feel it, I can tell. Just keep training hard, man, and the rest of it will take, keep training hard, believe in myself, and the rest of it will take care of itself, I guess, as you say. Sorry, dude, that head kicked your audio thing.
Nah, that's fine.
Sorted.
Last question, we'll wrap up. What would you say to anyone who is thinking about getting into MMA or jiu-jitsu or anything like that to improve their physical health or also maybe their mental health?
I would say you can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
You cannot go wrong with it. So, you know, physical health, you know, you'll get fitter. So you get fitter. Cardio, you'll get more specific strength. You'll get fitter in every kind of way you can think, really, whilst learning a skill. You know, you go to like your local Bannatons or DWs, you know, you get fitter, that comes and goes, fitness comes and goes, but you're getting fit and you're learning a new skill. You're meeting people who like might be lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the longer you do it, so there's a BJJ thing, you know, the more efficient your technique becomes. So then even if you are out of shape, you come back, but you've still got them skills. Then, you know, once you learn to ride a bike, that's it.
Yeah.
Like once you develop these skills, you're not going to lose them straight away. You might lose a bit of time and all that, you know, but I think, you know, you can't go wrong starting it. And mentally, like I said earlier in the interview, you know, you'll be surprised how much better you'll feel after a training session. You know, if you're having a shitty day, a stressful day, or something's going on in your life, you come along, you train hard. You know, if you want to take it that far, you might beat the crap out of each other in sparring, but trust me, you'll feel ahead of a lot better after it. Anyone who's thinking about doing it, you know, mentally, physically, there's so many benefits to it, and I'd highly recommend it to absolutely everyone, men, women, and the younger you can start, the better, man, because, you know...
Yeah. That's my one regret with it. Like I was maybe at 23, 24 when I started. Late bloomer, you know what I mean?
But then, you know, I wouldn't like we say about like planting the seed in your head. I wouldn't even be like, oh, I've started too late. because there's fucking loads of examples. You look at Jimmy Manu in the UFC, one of the best ever. He started when he was in jail for something like some badass gangster manslaughter gang war stuff, you know. And then he got out, and I think he started his professional career at like 30 years old, you know. So and you look at a lot of these champions now, they're like late 30s and stuff like that, man. So you know, I think it's just down to every individual, to be honest. It depends how smart you train and how hard you train, I guess. Smart training is the key thing as well, because you can waste a lot of time just training like an auntie, you know, not actually be getting better, you know what I mean? But concentrate on that technique, ask questions of the experience, more experienced guys around you, and you'll get good quick, man. And you know, you're a combat centre, man, you've got some beast there, man, so you're not limited for training.
Plans, certainly
like,
do. Well, cheers for that, Ross. And,
nice one, brother.
Good luck on the 21st, of course.
We'll do it for 7-8 all day. Three wins for Scotland.
I can see it. I can see it for sure.
Sense it, bro. I can sense it.
Hello. Did you enjoy that? I really hope you did. The MMA one seems to have been quite popular so far, the combat sports podcasts. And I really hope you've enjoyed them. I certainly enjoy getting to do them, because I mean, usually it means I get to sneak in a sneaky bit of training with someone who a really high level. I'm going to be recording another one that I'm really excited about when I go to London at the end of this week. I'm really excited for that. We've also got Liam Harrison one, the Rich Cadden one that's passed. Also hoping to record another one here in Aberdeen. So, lots of them coming up, so I hope people are enjoying them. And hopefully I'll get some other ones done as well and keep the variety up, because it's ace for me to get to speak to all different types of people. I absolutely loved the one that went out last week with Joe. It's the first time I'd spoken to a poet in a long time. Yeah. Let me know what you're thinking of the podcast. I had a rough weekend. I've been having a bit of a rough time lately. It's the first time in a while I've had to be really proactive with my own mental health. I've been debating how best to talk about that, whether it be on the podcast or another YouTube video, or whether to write an article, or whether I'm going to wait until I've sorted things out and talk about it then. And I don't know, I think summer can be a tough time. Everyone goes on about Christmas and stuff, and I think that is a really tough time as well, but I think summer, something about that sun, and you know, you tend to drink more and socialise a lot more. More late nights. You know, we don't get the school holidays at my age. You have got to get up and go to work and got to keep real life going. And sometimes it can be tough to find the balance. So yeah, I've decided for myself enough is enough. And I'm hopefully going to be getting some more, a different type of help that I've not had in the past. Although the rumours are true and waiting lists are long. So it might be a while before you hear me talk about that. But I just thought, since this is a mental health podcast, it was probably worth mentioning, and that I should mention it. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I don't know who will be out next week. It might well be one of the ones I record in London, because my time to edit might be quite limited, so I might just chuck one out that I remember, you know, the full conversation pretty closely, and maybe don't have to listen back or edit too much. So I might just throw one of those out. So, yeah, could be a total surprise. It might be a surprise even to me. Not as much of a surprise, because I'll know I'm putting out, but you know what I mean. Right, I'm going to go. Thank you very much. I lied. I'm not going. It looks like I'm going to be getting a whole load of new t-shirts printed. Please keep an eye on www.365aberdeen.bigcartel.com. I'll put that link somewhere so you can get it. And we'll hopefully be having a run of t-shirts going out within the next couple of weeks. All the money goes back to the podcast and helping me pay for trips like the one I'm always going to go to London, the one that funded this podcast in Inverness. It all adds up, all the money. It's been a long time since I had any money coming into this podcast. I had also to pay a line rental. So, server space rental for the podcast to have it online. So it does cost me quite a lot of money. So if you are enjoying this podcast, it is free. Please go and buy a t-shirt and get yourself something cool. And also help me out majorly. Right. Cheers.